Our featured guest on this GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment, adventure capitalist Jim Rogers from his Singapore office. Jim Rogers, financial author, commentator, hedge fund manager, and co-founder of the Quantum Fund, author of several bestsellers. Happy New Year, Jim Rogers.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here.
Well, you know, the high-yield bond market, bit of an implosion here amid domestic rate hikes. Higher rates might be imminent here, at least domestically. Is the West on the verge of a Fed-inspired financial crisis like 2008?
We're going to have one, no question. I mean, we haven't had a serious stock market correction in the U.S. in over, 7 years now, or nearly 7 years. And so we're overdue for a problem. The debt has gone through the roof since 2008. No, we're going to have a problem. Whoever causes, quote, causes, there are many, many causes always when there's a financial crisis. Maybe there's a straw which breaks the camel's back, but it's coming. Don't worry. It doesn't matter who causes it. You better be prepared.
Well, that's true. And you know, the greenback on the verge of new multi-year highs, global investors, I think, turning to the least sick reserve currency. How will the dollar fare? What will that strength mean for the markets in 2016?
Well, my largest currency position continues to be the U.S. dollar, as we've discussed several times, and I don't have any plans to sell it. My view is that the current view, anyway, is that the U.S. dollar will get overvalued, maybe even turn into a bubble. The reason I own a lot of U.S. dollars is because there is turmoil coming in the next year or two, and in times of turmoil, people flee to a safe haven. The U.S. dollar is not a safe haven, but it's perceived that way. And certainly compared to the alternatives, it looks less bad. So people will flee more and more to the dollar. I expect the turmoil in the market to be pretty bad. So the dollar could turn into a bubble. If that happens, I hope I'm smart enough to sell. And then, of course, I've got to do something with my money. But who knows at this point?
Exactly. You know, we've seen a lot of euros and yen flowing into the United States as central bankers and policymakers seem to be intent on dropping their overnight lending rates into negative territory. So I guess it just makes our half a point, if you will, interest rate look appealing, which still makes one wonder how in the world anybody retires on half a percentage point.
Well, they're destroying many, many people in the world right now. You know, the people who save and invest for the future have been and are being destroyed worldwide, at the expense, by the way, of people who did it the other way, who went and borrowed a lot of money, whether they could afford it or not. And so the people who save and invest for the future are being destroyed all over the world. And throughout history, as you know, this hasn't happened often, but when it has, it's been a wreck for the society. It usually leads to men on a white horse, women on a white horse, bankruptcy, war, etc. And I'm afraid it's going to happen again.
I think you're right. A lot of sabers rattling. Gold holding up well relative at least to copper, crude oil, iron ore, many of the commodities. Will the yellow metal retest the 1,000 level this year? And what do you think is more likely, $1,500 gold or $800 sometime in the next year?
I hope you remember that I'm horrible at short-term trading. I'm a horrible market timer. I would suspect it'll be under 1,000 before it's 1,500. If that happens, I hope I'm smart enough to buy a lot more gold.
And yet you always seem to be positioned in the right markets.
Well, sometimes I get it right. Even I get it right sometimes. You know? So, yeah, I invest all over the world. And at the moment, I'm short the U.S. and long China. For instance, if I had to give one characterization of my market, I own Russia. I own several markets. I sold Japan since we spoke last. Yeah, sometimes I get it right.
China, you've been on record recently knocking down the bears and the naysayers. Maybe there's a bit of a real estate bubble?
Well, it is the number two spot, at least economically-wise, as far as the size of the national economy. There will be problems in China. You know, America became the most important country and the most successful country in the 20th century. But along the way, we had a horrible civil war. We had 15 depressions with a D. Very few human rights, massacres in the streets, little rule of law, and yet we became a very successful country. Eventually, China's going to have plenty of problems. Don't think that I'm so naive that I don't understand that. And when the next set of problems comes in the world, everybody's going to be affected. You can't have America and Europe and Japan having problems without everybody, including China, being affected.
Although the blue chips prefer dollar weakness, it makes their exports a little more affordable. The tech sector seems to be insulated, unfazed by the threat of the stronger dollar. Amazon.com, Netflix, many others setting triple-digit annual returns. Do you agree that with our recent guest, the forecaster, Martin Armstrong, that U.S. stocks might surprise the bears, maybe even doubling before reaching a year 2000-like top?
I happen to be short the stocks you just mentioned, mainly short in the U.S., because for the reasons you just said, nothing affects them at all. Well, that's sometimes known as a bubble, if you look back in history. And so I'm short there. That doesn't mean I can't get wiped out or lose a lot more money, but I got to be hedged, and that seems to be the best place to hedge on the short side in the U.S.
Well, the CBOT VIX certainly agrees with your call there, up at levels, seen anything like it since the credit crisis. At least hints at perhaps higher yields and more volatility in the markets. Is that what you're seeing in 2016?
Oh, yeah, yes. Volatility, as you call it. I think that means the ups and downs. Yes, certainly. They're going to be. Well, we've already started with a good amount of volatility. As you know, the first day was a barn burner. There's going to be more. You're going to see a lot of turmoil. You're going to see more stock market turmoil, bond market turmoil in every market, and you're going to see some bankruptcies. I would urge everybody to be knowledgeable about what's going on, to be worried, and to be prepared. And even if the U.S. stock market does double, as you just said, someone said, you should be really worried, because what follows after that, that may be the end of the world. If the stock market, if the U.S. stock market doubles in the next year or two, it's already at a very high level. It's not a bubble by any stretch, most of it. Some of it, yes, but not most of it. But if the U.S. market doubles from here, get very scared.
Yeah, I suppose that would be the point where mom and pop return to the markets and everybody's day trading, quitting their day job. You know, we find out that the local cashier has just made a few million dollars trading the latest tech bubble. Extremely low natural gas prices might be presenting an opportunity. You talked about different opportunities in the new year. Well, the U.S., obviously the Saudi Arabia, it's called, of natural gas. Do you think this could lead to an increase in alternative fuels here in the U.S. and what that might mean for the market and for consumers?
Well, at the moment, consumers, to start there, are having a bonanza because the price of all energy is down a lot. Not all, but is down a lot. So people have a little more money in their pocket, whether they spend it or throw it away. It doesn't matter. They do have more money in their pocket. But as we know from history, low prices lead to higher prices. The solution for low prices is low prices. And yes, exploration is being cut back dramatically everywhere, and that's going to eventually cause much higher prices for natural gas and other energy.
Well, as the discussion winds down, it sounds as though investors should be bracing for volatility. But do you see anything that feels like or seems like a meltdown, something, you know, we might have seen 10, 20 years ago? And if so, what's the safe haven asset class that you like?
Well, yesterday felt like that in some markets. The stocks you just mentioned in the U.S. were down over 4%. 4% decline in a day feels pretty bad to many people, especially if it continues. Where do I see opportunities? It's a good question. My largest currency position, I said, is the U.S. dollar. I'm not sure I would go and buy it now. I've owned it for 2 or 3 years, as you well know. As I look around the world, I mainly don't see too many opportunities. Maybe in Russia, I'm trying to open an account in Nigeria and Kazakhstan, maybe Iran. If I can open an account there, there are opportunities. These are countries that are very depressed and beaten down, where big, big, big changes are taking place, and that often can lead to dramatic opportunities. I guess people should learn how to sell short. You started off talking about junk bonds. I'm short the U.S. junk bond market. I'm not short the regular bond market. It seems to me, since the spreads have narrowed so much between junk and high-yield bonds, that the opportunity is in junk. It doesn't mean it can't go higher for a while. But I'm short those and looking to short more. I'm looking to short more of the nifty stocks you just mentioned, the U.S. technology stocks, which never go down. That's how I'm looking at the world as we speak. But I'm mainly worried. I'm trying to figure out what to do, because the next time we have a financial crisis, it's going to be horrendous. And a lot of people are going to get wiped out, and I hope I'm not one of them. And if the U.S. market does double, I will certainly get hurt on the short side. I always get hurt shorting bubbles, and that will be a full-fledged bubble. Let's hope I don't get wiped out.
One opportunity that I've been watching closely, the zinc market, it's just been crushed over 90%. There's a new ETF, I think it's ZINC. It looks like you can pick up shares at about a 90-95% discount in that ETF. Do you see surprise rally coming to some of these really beaten down metals?
Well, what you just described, interesting and perhaps even exciting. I was not aware of it, don't know about it, but it sounds like something I should, as soon as I get off this phone call, I should start learning more about.
And we wish you and your family a blessed new year, Jim Rogers.
Well, I was just in North Carolina.
Probably visiting your wife's family would be my guess.
I was in a place called Rocky Mount, and we were there for several days.
Look forward to speaking to you later in the year. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.